This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry blend and orange hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike to tell you along with Charlie Long handling everything behind the scenes. I want to tell everybody at 5:45, Steve Geller will join us for our bet. 365 triple option feature, and at 6:30 tonight right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. The LSU Fighting Tiger baseball team will play the Southeastern Lions, and Charlie, man, the Lions have been impressive this season. We had Scott Sanders on with us yesterday talking about it. Scott keeps up with the Lions also, and man, that's a couple teams, McNeese, along with Southeastern. Lamar has been really good in the Southland Conference this year.
Yeah, Mike, it's going to be a multi-bid league. We'll see exactly which teams make it to the NCAA tournament and the regional play in baseball. I sent you earlier today that College Baseball Central released a bracketology a couple weeks away from the end of the regular season. And as of now, they have LSU as the 2 seed hosting a regional. And then if they win, they would host a super regional on the path to Omaha. The 2 seed in their regional is Southern Miss. And the 3 seed in their original is Southeastern. So not just, you know, sneaking into the tournament as maybe a 4 seed in some regional. Right now, if the season ended today, College Baseball Central as Southeastern is a 3 seed, Mike.
Charlie, goes to show you, you got some good baseball players in the state of Louisiana and Mississippi. That's where, you know, the vast majority of these guys are from. And so, man, you're proud of that because, you know, we talk so much about all the football talent in the state of Louisiana. But, man, they got some baseball talent here, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And a little bit of a scouting report on Southeastern. We'll get a little bit more into them as the show goes along here, Mike. But 33-11 overall. That is impressive no matter which way you cut it. 18-6, though, in the Southland Conference. And the Southland, as we mentioned, is going to be a multi-bid league this year in college baseball. That's also fantastic. They're coming off 2-3 over Houston Christian this past weekend. As a team, they hit 300, so it was solid offense. But this is what's also impressive. A 3.31 team ERA, 351 strikeouts, and 375.2 innings pitched. And they hold opponents to a 219 batting average. So good hitting team, good pitching team. You can see why they're considered an at-large team right now.
Charlie, the numbers came out in the 2025 NFL draft. It's turned out to be the second most watched draft ever. And everywhere I go today, I hear it too. Man, I listen to y'all Thursday night and Friday, or I listen to y'all Saturday where I was traveling. Great interest in the draft, but the 2025 NFL draft in Green Bay, they basically had an average audience of 7.5 million viewers across, you know, that ESPN, ABC, NFL Network type format for the three-day event, making it the second most watched draft on record, only behind the 2020 draft. Okay, that was the COVID year. And that's up 27% from last year. Charlie, this wasn't a star-studded draft. It No. goes to show the interest in the NFL draft is huge. We could talk NFL draft from today all the way through to next year when the draft happens. There's so much interest in it for the college players entering the NFL. And like I said, I went to a couple places this morning, and there, people were coming up. Man, man, I enjoyed the coverage so much on WWL. The guys were great, and you know, stuff like what you did behind the scenes, I certainly appreciate, along with Jeff and Cullen and everybody else, and you know, with Deuce and Hoss and Steve, and also with Bobby J. So many people really listened in, and man, that goes to show you the interest in the NFL is at a rate that it's never been before. Never.
Second most watched draft ever, Mike, as you mentioned, behind 2020, which is when everyone was starved for any type of sports content during the COVID year. And so the fact that it's number two behind that is incredible. But to your point as well, last year was the star-studded draft. Last year was all the quarterbacks and all the receivers and all the flashy players. Mike, it was up 11% from last year with 13.6 million viewers on round one, that Thursday night coverage. So it was up from last year 11%, and then day two, which was rounds two and three, up 48% versus 2024. And then day three's coverage, rounds four through seven, up 43% from 2024. So yes, like up across the board. But specifically, the one that's most surprising to me is how many people tuned in to day one's coverage when, as you mentioned, it wasn't a super like star-studded draft like it was last year, but still more people tuned in than last year. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and goes to show you the power of the National Football League. And, you know, and some people choose not to watch it anymore. And, hey, listen, that's your preference if you don't want to watch it or not. But, my God, they got a lot of people listening to it and a lot of people watching it. And so, you know, it is the powerhouse in sports today in America. There's nothing close to it, Charlie. The 5,000 pound King Kong in the 1,000 pound cage. I mean, they shaking it from one end to the other, and it's amazing the interest in the NFL draft. And I can say the same thing, you know, as we get a little bit closer into it. College football is the clear cut number two in America. How many people, they love to talk about college football, and despite, you know, everything that's changing and all this other stuff, it is an unbelievable circumstance to watch with NIL and transfer portal, the interest in college and pro football just amazes me today.
Yeah, and the NFL also included this in their press release at the very back end to kind of prove your point, Mike. NFL games ranked as 90 of the top 100 telecasts during the 2024 season. So, you know, we'll see what that number is for 2025 as well, Mike.
Ain't that a kicker? Across the board. When we come back, we'll have on with us former Louisville star quarterback, Chris Redmond. Chris also played in the National Football League. He'll tell us, in watching Tyler Shuck, his opinion on how well he'll do in the National Football League right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long in studio and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, former standout quarterback at Louisville, played in the National Football League, Chris Redmond. Chris, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Oh, happy to do it. Thanks for having me on.
Chris, from what you saw from Tyler Shuck last year, kind of give me an evaluation. I mean, you were a great quarterback at Louisville, got a chance to play in the National Football League. Everybody makes a big thing about his age. To me, man, if you can play and you're 25 or 26, I don't care. You know, if you can, the way athletes can extend their careers today of 10, 11, 12 years, if you're the right guy, it really doesn't matter. So give me your evaluation of what you saw from Tyler Shuck last year and watching your alma mater at Louisville.
Well, I totally agree with you. And you know, the most quarterbacks that I know, that's their prime years is 20. I mean, that's kind of when you want the best years of your career. And so I think it's a good time, especially, you know, in a situation like that where you could probably come in and play pretty early. You know, he was only at Louisville 1 year, came in from Texas Tech, but man, what a hard worker. My neighbor is his agent, so I know, you know, all the little things that he does right. And you know, Coach Prom has just touted him so much and really groomed him his final year in college to get him, prepare him for, you know, that national football league. And he knows how to do it. He's had so many guys come underneath him. And obviously him being a former NFL player too, he knows how to get these guys prepared. So I think you guys are getting a great quarterback, a hard worker, team guy. I know one thing, he wants to be there. He can report it's at a certain day. He's going to be there early, a couple of days early, and get situated. So his mind is right, and you're not going to have to worry about you know, any off you know, field type of situations at all. He's just a good guy. He's mature. He's married now. Like, he's just you know, he's got his priorities set, and he wants to come in and help the ball team win. I know for a fact when he came into Louisville, he's like, we got to get this team going and get this team, you know, together in the locker room, not just on the field with throwing passes, making completions, but bringing a group together. And that's where I think his maturity will really help him, you know, in the National Football League. So I think you're getting a great quarterback at the right time.
Chris, you talk so much about his intangibles, but his on-field traits, maybe give me a couple of them that really stuck out to you in watching him last season at Louisville.
You know, I was actually talking to Matt Ryan, played golf with Matt Ryan not too long ago, and we were talking about him, and I said, hey, you know, he's got, he reminds me, both of us said the same thing, he reminds me of a quarterback back in the day. The way it comes off his hand, it reminds a little bit of, it may be an unfair criticism, but Joey Harrington was a guy that was very in high regards for me and Matt when he came into Atlanta. Just the way the ball comes off his hand, he's just got a unique spin. You could just tell he can really, really spin it. And he's sneaky athletic too, like moving in the pocket. He's going to run some touchdowns and get what he needs to get. And you know, he had a couple of injuries, but they were kind of freak injuries. And one is, you know, one was like an illegal tackle in the NFL anyway, so he got injured on that. So like I don't think the injury prone is really going to be his thing at all. I think he's you know, I think he's going to really excel. And so I love the way he throws the ball, makes good decisions. You know, he can stand in there and take some hits and still deliver the throw with very a lot of accuracy. So I really think that he does a lot of the little things that it takes to be an NFL quarterback, especially late in the game. You know, you're going to need guys on third down to make plays and in the pocket and making big time throws. And I think he's your guy. I'm not saying he's a, you know, he does. I hate to say this, but a Drew Brees 2.0 is potentially is what this guy could be. And I think he's in the right place, and that's high regards. And that's a lot of respect I have for him.
Chris, playing in the NFL like you did, the ability to process out on the field on where to go with the football, that's different from college. I mean, you might go one read, second read, but man, in the NFL, it's coming at you at warp speed. And so how would you regard his ability to process what he sees downfield and getting it to the right receiver?
Yeah, you know, I think when you get to the National Football League, you know, your windows are just smaller. You know, like the guys on defense are very fast, but so are the guys on offense. But I think what makes the elite quarterbacks are the guys that make the accurate throws under, you know, pressure with people in your face. And, you know, your focus is so much on those safeties and where, you know, your responsibility that, you know, you just kind of get really dialed in on what you need to do and get the job done. And some guys can do that and some guys can't. And I think this guy has got the ability to do that. And there's a reason that he went in the second round and he was drafted above some guys that a lot of people didn't think he was, because people, you know, got to really see him. And, you know, I think they have a lot of excitement around him. And he may be one of the, you know, the top guys in that class that could really excel and get a team into the playoffs and be relative to win a Super Bowl.
Chris, when we talked with Tyler himself, he mentioned the age thing and that a lot of these quarterbacks are playing well into their 30s and their peak is in their late 20s and stuff like that. And he mentioned other kind of pro-ready quarterbacks that came out last year, like Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix, that had long collegiate journeys before making it to the NFL. And so that's kind of the formula that he wants to follow and emulate. But one thing as well, that when we talked with Sam Bruckhaus, who's a data analyst for Sumer Sports, he mentioned the best thing about Tyler Shuck, outside of his arm talent, outside of his athleticism, his ability to minimize negative plays, that he doesn't take sacks. He always will take, you know, an incompletion over, you know, a negative play. And that's something that the Saints offense really struggled with last year. And that's a really good point of bringing him in.
Oh, I 100%. I think he is going to get you in the right protection. A lot of times, you know, those sacks are typically, you know, if you're not in the right protection against the right defense, he's going to get you in the right protection, make sure that everyone's blocked up, and give yourself the best opportunity to sit in there as long as possible and make a good accurate throw. So like that experience, playing a long time, being on different teams, being able to come into a team that's with a bunch of new guys. Well, that's what he's doing this year. He's coming into a team with 100% new guys on the roster that you got to come in, be a leader. And, you know, it helps that he's married. I mean, shoot, this guy's, you know, you're coming home to a wife, and you know, I think that too, you know, there's a guy that you know, his responsibilities are going to be really devoted to, you know, football and some of the other stuff that comes along with the NFL. Is, you know, those are some struggles that are tough, and this guy's going to be just really dialed into football and helping this team succeed. So I think you got a good one. I can't say enough about the guy. I'm really excited for him, and I think he's going to have a long career. And you know, I think it's going to be a trend. You're going to see older quarterbacks entering in the league. I would have much rather been in the league my first couple of years, and you know, at an older age. You're just more mature as a person, and obviously as a quarterback.
Chris, he wasn't the only Louisville player taken by the Saints. They picked Quincy Riley, the cover cornerback. I don't know how much you got a chance to really scrutinize his play, but, you know, he's not the biggest guy around, but great speed. And you can see his instincts to track the football quickly in flight. So anything you can add to us about Quincy Riley, the cover cornerback, who I think he'll play the nickel quickly for the Saints. I think that's where they probably project him early.
Yeah, you got a sneaky, great player. I don't think people realize how good of a player this guy is. And you say instincts, you're exactly right. This guy's gonna make the right read and know when to gamble and when not to gamble. And I think that's a perfect nickel back that can come in there and handle the slot and know when he can to make those big type of plays and interceptions against some of those slot receivers. I think is vital for any defense now, especially as, you know, the type of quarterbacks are in this league right now. You have to have those kind of guys that have a lot of speed, and speed kills. I mean, I've seen some of the best cornerbacks and nickelbacks I've seen, you know, are really fast and tough guys, and that's exactly what you got in Quincy. So I think I think a heck of a draft. I think it's the sky's the limit for New Orleans. And I was a Falcons player, but man, I can see a lot of great things happening down there in New Orleans. So I'm excited for you guys.
We'll have Charlie mute that Falcons part out of it, but all is good now. Chris, we had Archie Manning on yesterday, and Archie had told me the story, Mike, how the draft has changed so dramatically, how it's covered. Archie's like, I was in school. They came get me out of class, and they brought me to the offices. I got a phone call from the owner, and I talked to the head coach, and then I went right back to class. He said, you know, watching what Peyton and Eli went through, he said, it's just unreal. Kind of give us your draft day moment, because you got picked in round 3 of the draft. But, man, how much coverage is on this from radio to television. It's remarkable how they've turned this 3-day event. It's an extravaganza and basically a showcase moment for the National Football League.
It really is. It's, you know, it just shows how far the NFL has come and how it's a year long sport for everybody that they get so involved in. And draft day for me was kind of a bad taste. I mean, I was hoping to go in late first round, and my agent said, you know, latest you go be early second. And so, you know, I was waiting on the wings. I guess, you know, not like Shador had to endure, but like it was close. And I remember that feeling of, man, what's going on? What did I do? You know, and it was rough. And I ended up stopped watching it and just went to the driving range close to my house and hitting balls. And next thing you know, I get called from Baltimore. And but it was a frustrating day. And I can't imagine when, you know, the camera's right in your face the whole time. And it's a, you know, that's a tough spot to be. And every year there seems like there's that one or two guys who have had that bad experience. And I know kind of how that is. And it's disappointing, but, you know, also gives you a chip on your shoulders. And like, you know, ask Tom Brady if that didn't motivate him to be, you know, one of the greatest quarterbacks ever. So like, you know, that there's not to say you don't know how, you know, what's going to happen in your, you know, football life and what's going to be the thing that gets you to play your best. And so sometimes negative things can end up being a positive in the long run. So we'll just kind of have to see what happens.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us. Man, really enjoyed the conversation. We're going to have you back, and we'll talk quarterback talk around the National Football League and college football. And, man, how 7-on-7 has changed the world, hasn't it? I mean, you see Absolutely. The growth of these quarterbacks, and a lot of it having to do with 7-on-7 from junior high school up into the high school ranks.
Absolutely. 7-on-7 is a great way of foundation for some of these quarterbacks, and they get very comfortable in the gun, and you learn, you know, your timing on how fast you need to get that ball out. And so I'm a big believer.
Chris, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Appreciate it, buddy. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Chris Redmond, former Louisville star quarterback, played in the National Football League, and you heard him say, hey, he had a little journey with the Dirty Birds out in Atlanta and played also with the Ravens. And so, man, great evaluation from Chris, and, man, glowing terms about Tyler Shuck. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this break. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike DeTay along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line, one of our favorite guests, Kelsey Nicole Nelson. Kelsey, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. And Kelsey, when I read that they were going to renovate RFK Stadium, I thought immediately about you. Growing up, I remember RFK was rocking, and George Allen was the coach back then, and they had the Over the Hill Gang, and they did get to the Super Bowl, didn't win it, and then after George left, a few seasons kind of mata-mata, then all of a sudden, Joe Gibbs hits town. And you talk about a place that was deafening. I was talking to Bobby about this. He was like, man, for an outdoor stadium, it was so loud, and they would hit on, you know, the bottom part of that stadium, and it kind of shook like an old stadium used to shake at the bottom when things were going right for the then Washington Redskins. And so tell everybody, it kind of got lost a little bit in the news because of the draft and the coverage of it, but won't be too much longer, and we'll have a new RFK Stadium in Washington.
Yeah, Mike, you know, you touched on the nostalgia and excitement that's happening right here in Washington. I don't think I've ever talked to a past Washington player that didn't tell me how RFK Stadium would feel. You could literally, like you said, feel it shaking. But I think there's a lot of excitement in town. Now, D.C. is political, so there's a lot of viewpoints and a lot of opinions. But the press conference held yesterday at the National Press Club, right, one of the most iconic places for journalism in the heart of downtown D.C., for the team to announce this. And I will say a lot of Washington, D.C. natives, people born and bred in the area, they've been waiting for this moment. You know, it took me back to how Mayor Bowser, Maria Bowser, opened the press conference, Mike. She said, you know, promise made, and the crowd responded promise kept. So this is something, you know, that she, you know, as a Washingtonian, native Washingtonian, had promised, somebody who knows what that culture is. And I always tell folks, Mike, D.C. is a football town. The burgundy and gold bleed here. And, you know, for so long, you know, it kind of got lost when the team wasn't playing as well. But with the excitement of last season, and in this excitement and counting down to, you know, 2030, it's great. You know, it's so great to see Doug Williams in attendance and Daryl Green, right? We're talking about icons, you know, of the gridiron and, you know, folks like Brian Mitchell on the radio here in D.C., you know, getting a chance to talk about it. So I think you're exactly spot on. I think people are excited about the team, but everyone's just worried about the cost, Mike, like any time, right? A stadium conversation is brought up, you know, in any city and taxpayers and all that type of stuff. I think once you get past the politics of the deal, true football fans want the team back in Washington. They know it belongs in Washington. And now they feel like, you know, what they've been waiting for is finally, it finally feels like the first time it's coming. And I'll see even more exciting. A lot of folks are talking about the potential dome on that stadium when that rendering came out, thinking about even bigger events that could be held at the stadium just beyond football, because D.C. is really trying to be a place that gets international events. You know, we have FIFA Club World Cup coming here to Audi Field this year. And potentially if this stadium deal goes through, if it's approved by the council, right, 7 out of 12 members being able to approve it. There's also just excitement about what other large sporting events could potentially come here to Washington, D.C.
Kelsey, you mentioned Doug Williams and Brian Mitchell. I'm going to let you answer it. Guess where they grew up in?
Oh, my gosh. You already know. The home.
Louisiana.
It was intentional I mentioned their names, right? And you talk about Louisiana, another place, you know, where football is embedded into the culture. But, you know, fans, again, were just so excited to see the smiles, you know, on these faces, again, of gridiron greats here that played in Washington. I think that's what folks are really excited about. And, you know, something this ownership group, Mike, has gotten praised on is their treatment of the alumni and really valuing alumni opinions. And so Josh Harris and company, I think this is just another check mark, you know, on this ownership group, again, kind of doing what fans have wanted for a long time in Washington.
Kelsey, you know, and I agree with you on Josh Harris, because Dan Snyder, I can say this is 40 years for me. I haven't heard one person tell me anything real positive about Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
But to see what happens with Josh Harris, but you know, Josh Harris, one thing him and his family have to do every year, and that's send a Christmas present and card to Jaden Daniels. He sort of changed the world in Washington.
He did. He brought hope back to Washington. I agree. I would say every holiday, really, they should be sending a gift to Jaden Daniels. And again, Jaden Daniels is truly one of the most popular people here in Washington. So I thought the timing of this was perfect, right? After a historic season for this franchise, you know, for this news to come, it's like the up and up for the Commanders. I'm telling you, between the Capitals, obviously, who are doing well and who are, you know, have a big fan base here in Washington just because of their play, and Alex Ovechkin, the top team right now, even though the Capitals are, you know, again, being talked about, it's definitely the Commanders, and I can't tell you how many JD5 fans there are here in D.C.
Kelsey, a little bit about the draft with the Commanders, because everybody asks about. Now, you know, people watch Cincinnati today because of Joe Burrow. Now they're keeping up with the Commanders because of Jaden Daniels. A little bit about their draft. They went big man early with Josh Connerly for protection there. But how do you feel overall they were able to fare out in the three-day draft situation?
Yeah, you know, I think attacking around the linebacker spot, round six, you know, the linebacker is something we talked about here in Washington. Seems like for the longest time, Mike, you know, so always wanting to shore up that spot, making sure, I think Washington really looking to make sure they had some speed there. When you look at the guys who will be starting, you know, getting some depth behind them. And I think the other thing, Washington really looking at depth, and I think that was what was kind of exciting to see for the team going into this draft, is that they were able to add, you know, depth into kind of currently the needs that they have. The cornerback spot, we talk a lot about the secondary here in Washington, right? So Trey Amos also getting a lot of conversation here, because that being kind of a spot that Washington, not just fans, but right, journalists and everybody talking about, if Washington's able to shore up the secondary, this is a team that could get back to what they did last season and potentially, right, get to that Super Bowl spot. You know, Washington really is, Mike, being talked about a true threat in the NFC East wanting to build off of last season. But, you know, it's funny we're talking about the draft because I can't tell you. I think it's gotten lost here in Washington because all everybody wants to talk about, Mike, is the stadium deal and the team coming back. And like you said, Jaden Daniels. So, you know, I hope these guys do get their fair share. There was a great draft party this weekend held at National Harbor here in D.C. So, again, folks excited about them. But I think last year's draft is still on the high, right, because Jaden Daniels delivered, you know, as a first rounder. And now I think these guys get to come in. These young guys get to come in. You talked about Jess Connerly, Trey Amos, but they're coming into a fan base that's excited. They're coming into a fan base where there's veteran leadership and veteran presence. You know, but again, I think Jess Connerly is probably the one being talked about the most because as you talk about Jaden Daniels, everybody is talking about protection, right, for him, being able to continue on. So again, the draft picks being talked about here in Washington, but maybe not as much just because there's a lot of good things right now happening with this football team. You mentioned Dan Snyder, and I don't think we're used to so many nice things, Mike, happening one time for this Washington franchise. So again, it's just rewriting the culture, you know, starting a new history and keeping on the right track and foot for this Washington franchise.
Kelsey, you mentioned Trey Amos, and I'm a big Trey Amos fan because he's a former UL Raging Cajun, my alma mater. So he started there before going to Alabama, then Ole Miss this past year where he was a first-team All-SEC member in 2024. Your thoughts on Trey Amos, the second straight year that Washington's used a second-round pick on a cornerback. Last year was Mikey Samer still from Michigan. This year, Trey Amos. And how they're kind of building that, I guess, secondary from the ground up with this draft capital.
Yeah, you know, Mike gets a lot of love here in D.C., especially after his play. And I think everyone thinks he's on the up and up, Jonathan Jones being another one talked about here in Washington. A guy that we've talked about on this show, right, Marshawn Lattimore, also being talked about in Washington. But I think, again, Washington wanting to make sure on defense that they can shore up. That was a sore spot at times for Washington last season. And, again, this is a team that's going into the season on a high. There's a lot of positives being talked about. But I think Trey Amos, again, in terms of depth adds, and when you think about injuries and stuff like that can happen over a season, there is a chance for him, I think, to make a true impact. You know, again, I think what his experience, I think this is a guy that Washington fans, true football fans are experienced with, but I do think he will fare well here in Washington. And again, I think this is just another nod on the leadership of Adam Peters, really understanding what Washington needs, the tools and pieces, to really, again, continue to be a true contender when we think about the National Football League season upcoming.
Yeah, those Louisiana guys, they know a little bit of stuff about
just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
No, they're favorites here. I will tell you, there's a lot of excitement. Sorry, Mike, just about guys that come from the South here to Washington. They usually fare pretty well here.
They sure do. Last question for you. Were you surprised a little bit that some team didn't hire Cliff Kingsbury as a head coach? Because I know there are some pretty prominent people that really thought a lot of Cliff and thought, you know, hey, he'll deserve a second shot at this in the NFL. And he did a great job with Jaden Daniels you know, kind of easing that gap between college football and the NFL. It's rare that you can see a first-year quarterback play like what Daniels did. I mean, he looked like a seasoned veteran. That really shocked me, but it surprised me just how good he was and how consistent he was throughout his rookie season.
Yeah, I think when you see Cliff in Washington, I think it's just a testament, Mike, honestly, to what the ownership, the leadership in Washington, to everyone believing in what Washington is building. Like, I can't tell fans how long it's been since, you know, it's really felt like Washington could potentially get back to the top level in the National Football League. And so I think Cliff knows he's got the right guy. If there's anyone I'm going to bet on in the National Football League, Jaden Daniels would definitely be one of those guys, especially when it comes to the quarterback spot. I mean, look at the draft that we just had. What was the top thing talked about, right? The quarterback. And so I think he knows he has a good guy. I think he knows Washington's offense is on the up and up. So I think there were some people that thought, okay, we might lose him. You know, obviously he should get lots of nods and lots of looks. But I think it goes back again to what everyone's talking about here in Washington, culture, what's being built. Everyone buying it. You know, Dan Quinn talks about the team aspect in Washington. So I think everyone doesn't just say it, Mike. It's a true feeling in that locker room. It's just true feeling throughout that organization. And everyone really seeing that Washington is a team that everyone's going to have to look out for.
Kelsey, embrace that Jaden Daniels. Because, listen, he don't come along, you know, every 10 years
cherished.
He is
I think the fans watch him like his mom. And very, so very talented.
My thing is this. Don't let him get away unless he comes to the Saints.
I can look. If I said that on air, the Washington fans would not let me back. So they definitely would not want that to happen. But again, I think everyone's truly excited about what Jaden Daniel offers, what he brings, and this upcoming Commanders football season.
Kelsey, thanks so much for joining us. Always our pleasure to have you on. Always do a great job, and appreciate your time.
Of course. Thank you all so much. Great to join you all, and have a great one. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Kelsey.
Thank you, Kelsey. Kelsey Nicole Nelson does a great job not only covering the Commanders out in Washington, also covers the Ravens, covers the NBA team in Washington. Oh, Charlie, that ain't too good either.
Hey, man, they're going to be counting lottery balls in a couple days just like us.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870 right after this break. Finishing up here in hour number one of Sports Talk on the Big 870, I want to thank Chris Redman for joining us and also Kelsey Nicole Nelson. At 520, we'll have Zach Nagy talking LSU baseball. And, man, recruiting never stops in football. They got a big recruit yesterday. Let's see if they can hold on to him, a California cornerback right outside of Los Angeles. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870 WWL right after this news break.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. Mike DeTellier along with Charlotte Long at 5:45. Steve Geller will join us for our Bet 365 triple option feature. And want to tell everybody at 6:30 tonight right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. The LSU Fighting Tiger baseball team takes on Southeastern. We'll talk a lot more about that matchup when we have Zach Nagy on with us at 5:20, talking a little bit of LSU football recruiting and certainly LSU baseball. And big series coming up this weekend, Charlie, as they play those Aggies.
Yeah, and unfortunately, Texas A&M is going to be kind of pissed off after losing all three last weekend to Texas. So, you know, UT has been rolling all throughout conference play. They're 19-2 in the SEC, which is unbelievable in their first year with Jim Schlossnagel. A&M, on the other hand, they got off to such a putrid start, but then they start getting hot. They picked up a series win against Tennessee at Tennessee. They picked up a series win at Arkansas. And they're starting to kind of figure it out. And you're saying, oh, well, this is the team that was the number one ranked preseason team all along. And then they lose all three to Texas. So LSU going to Aggie land, it's, you know, they're going to be playing a team that's looking for some, desperate for some wins.
You might not like the way Schlossnagel left A&M to go to Texas. That son of a gun can coach. Man, is he a great manager? And he can identify talent so well. And so, man. Charlie, to me, that is a real shocker of just how good. And we thought the Longhorns would be a good team, but I don't think anybody thought they would be this good.
No.
Throughout the season. I never saw anybody predict that, but man, I don't put anything past Schlossnagel. He does a fantastic job of piecing teams together, and he squeezed every bit of the vitamin C out the orange.
All he does is win, Mike. That's all that guy does. And when you're talking about 19-2 in SEC play for Texas, that's like, that's unheard of. It's unbelievable what they've done. And they keep, people still doubt this team, by the way, you know, and I've said it myself as well that, yeah, they haven't really played anyone super difficult on the road just yet. I think they have an upcoming series against Arkansas on the road, which will be really interesting to see how that works out in Fayetteville. But as far as, you know, just taking the series that they've supposed to have been taking this whole time. And that's what's been super impressive about Texas. As per Schloss, all he does is win. Every single spot he's been in, whether it be TCU, Texas A&M, now Texas, the guy just wins. And so, you know, we'll see what Texas does come postseason play, because some people have questions about their, I guess, depth on the mound. They have really good top line pitchers, but when you get into regionals and you have to get to a game five, game six, potentially game seven, or if you're in Omaha and it's kind of the same situation, how well will they really perform? But at the same time, they just keep proving people wrong.
You got that Al Davis philosophy. Just win, baby. Just win.
Right.
Let's go to our Oakland Hard Jewelers talking text line. Let's go to L.A. Cody. L.A. Cody, you're in the huddle with Mike and Charlie.
Hey, boys. How y'all doing? First, I got
all right, L.A. How you been, brother?
Hanging in there, man. I'm excited about the prospects of what could take place next season. So I got a couple comments real quick. First, I want to give out a heartful and thoughtful comment to Derek Carr. I mean, now that we know what he went through, you know, I wish him the best, and I hope him and his family find a way to recover. That's something really hard. I don't think the fans were aware of it, and I think it's just really sad how he's been treated. But all of that being said, let's just say he does have to get surgery, because now we know that the Saints were aware of his situation. If he has surgery but he can't come back, I was chatting with Charlie. Do you think they would try to go get a veteran? And I heard through the grapevine they were talking about maybe bringing Wentz. And is there anybody else that you see out there in the landscape that they might be willing to bring in so we won't have to bring in Shuck?
I do think that if he goes through surgery, I think the season, if it's not completely lost, is basically over with for him. As far as shoulder surgery, because that's a process to go through that and to come back from that shoulder injury that he has. Yes, I do see them going out and getting a veteran quarterback. You can't enter training camp in preseason with a second-year Spencer Rattler, with a rookie in Tyler Shuck, and a third-year guy in Jake Haener. You're going to have to go out and get you a veteran quarterback somewhere, if it's via a trade. There aren't a lot of guys left over. I think the most interesting situation is, and I don't know financially what he would look for, but and I can't see the Falcons just cutting him loose.
Right.
Would be Kirk Cousins. He becomes the intrigue to me much more than Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron, he's going to go where he wants to go, when he wants to go. Cousins is a different story. He's made a ton of money. He's going to get paid by the Falcons one way or another. Do the Falcons hold this out and say, you know what, it might sound morbid, but I'm going to wait till somebody goes down and gets hurt, and then I can trade him. You know, so Cousins to me becomes the biggest target quarterback if you're looking for a veteran. And I would think Pittsburgh at this stage, Charlie, I don't know how you feel about it. To me, Pittsburgh would seem the ideal spot for him, because, you know, they don't have a lot of other options if Aaron Rodgers tells them, I'm not going to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Pittsburgh's in a weird spot, Mike. They're not, like, similarly with their quarterback room, they're not just going to go into next year with Will Howard, right? I mean, they have, like, after moving on from both Fields and Wilson, everyone thought that they were going to use the premier pick on Shedeur Sanders. It didn't happen. But they used the draft pick on Will Howard. They're the team that definitely needs a veteran quarterback in that room. And we'll see what ends up happening. Like, once again, you mentioned with Kirk Cousins, it might be a longer process to determining where he ends up. It's just hard to imagine that he stays in Atlanta as a very expensive backup. Mike, I can't really see it.
I don't see it at all either. Or is there, and I've talked to some agents, and they don't represent Aaron, but they sort of have a feeling that maybe there's been a sort of a nod, nod, wink, wink kind of deal done with Aaron and the Steelers. The thing about Aaron is, when is he going to show up? You know, is he going to show up for OTAs? Is he going to show up for training camp, or is he just going to pop up, you know, 10 days before the season starts and says, hey, guys, I got it. You know, I've done this before. It ain't my first rodeo.
Yeah, he plays by his own drumbeat, Mike. And, you know, the thing with Rodgers and the Steelers is I don't really understand the fit, in all honesty. Like, he was – I know Bobby had read off the stats that he was better in the back half of the season for the Jets, and the Jets had defensive problems too, and that's why they were picking in the top 10 this past year. But if you're going into Pittsburgh, and the Pittsburgh defense is ready to win now, right? And so the quarterback would have to be ready to win now. But the weapons that they've got with, you know, George Pickens and then making the move for DK Metcalf, you need someone that can get it down there to these, you know, jump ball possession receivers. Does Rodgers still have that type of arm? I just don't know if he does.
Yes, he does.
You think so?
I think he does, Charlie.
Okay. Well, maybe the fit would work better than I think.
Yeah. As far as arm talent, he's still got it. Now, where he's not the same guy is his movement, the movement skills. Ever since the Achilles. And I can say the same thing about Cousins. He doesn't move. And not that Kirk was a great mover to begin with.
Yeah, they're both
statues.
But
he did have a little bit of drift left and right. Aaron Rodgers could move around in that pocket really, really well. And I think Bobby does have a point here about he played much better in the second half of the season than the first half. And a lot of that because I think he felt comfortable, you know, with his Achilles injury in his leg, much more so than the early part of the season. Man, the Rodgers-Cousins situation, this is why the NFL is who they are. They're going to drum this out all into the summer, and it's going to be talked about just like what you and I are talking about here.
Yeah, and we'll have to see. I think Cousins isn't staying in Atlanta. I'm pretty confident in that. And if Rodgers does come back and play for the $10 million a year that he said on the Pat McAfee show, he's going to have suitors. That's a guarantee.
We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870. Zach Nagy joins us. He does a great job covering the LSU Tigers for SI.com right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettay along with Charlie Long, and on our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. He covers the LSU Tigers for SI.com. Zach Nagy. Zach, before we start getting into questions, I got to tell you this. I had a package delivered to me this morning. So, you know, I hobbled my way to the door, and he starts telling me, man, I listened to the coverage, draft coverage. Man, y'all did a super job, everything. He said, man, you know who I really like? Man, that Zach guy that y'all have on talking about LSU. I was like, hey, every once in a while, the old pops get one good. And so, man, he paid you a lot of great compliments. And, man, we're thrilled to have you back on with us.
Absolutely, Mike. I appreciate you and the kind words as always. It's always a good time talking LSU ball. We're in the midst of a spot right now. You got some transfer portal buzz, recruiting trails going off right now, baseball, et cetera. It's a good time to talk LSU, and it's best to talk with you, of course.
I'll throw it one at a time to you, the transfer defensive lineman they brought in, and then I'll ask you about the big recruit yesterday. Now, getting the commitment from him is one thing. Hopefully, they get a signature on there, because we all know about that verbal commitment stuff. It ain't worth the piece of paper that it's written on, and there is none. So, tell us a little bit about the transfer defensive tackle LSU was able to bring in.
Yeah, so LSU kind of, we know that they were hitting this portal window, and they were going to be quote-unquote quiet. That was Brian Kelly's terminology that he used when he talked about the spring portal window. And the goal was to ultimately not have anybody enter the portal. You see one defensive lineman depart, but in return, you come in and you get a South Florida defensive lineman in Bernard Gooden. And this is a guy who's the number one available player in the portal, Mike. This is a player who is kind of undersized in a way, 6'1", 280, going to get the Baton Rouge this summer and put on some substantial size and be a nice depth piece for this team. Your defensive front is sensational. Your edge rushers are super talented. But Bernard Gooden is a guy who's going to come in and play the interior slot, and he'll work behind guys like Dominic McKinley, Ahmad Bro, Sean Washington, Sadir Mitchell. He's a good piece that has tremendous upside, and I'm intrigued to see how Kyle Williams throws him into the mix. So, a player who has experience at the Power 4 level. We'll see what happens next, but ultimately a player who can come in and make a splash, an upside pick for sure.
getting the cornerback from Los Angeles yesterday as a verbal commitment, and man, his list of schools, you're talking about USC, Ohio State, you can Alabama, you can go kind of go down the list. That's a big catch for Corey Raymond and LSU. Now, again, you got to be able to land him in December and get his name on that kind of contract with LSU. But your thoughts on LSU, which had whiffed on a lot of these big-time corners, but yet the last 2 years with Corey Raymond there, they've been able to land these big-time corners.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's a testament to the recruiting efforts of Corey Raymond and trying to bring back that DBU culture in Baton Rouge. Obviously, he helped instill that about a decade ago, and now he's trying to bring it back. And it starts with guys like DJ Pickett. You have Aiden Anding coming in this summer. You have a bunch of transfers that came in, and now you kind of build for the future, and it starts with a guy like Haven Finney Jr., the commitment that they got on Monday afternoon. And this is your prototypical Corey Raymond cornerback, 6'3", 170, 175, a long, tall, lanky player who really covers a tremendous amount of ground with his big strides. So this is a player that they're excited about. And to what you said, of course, it's a commitment now. We're still early. It's late April, and you got to continue to work and push on the recruiting scene to get him to put pen to paper in December, of course. But nonetheless, to get this commitment right now is a testament to the recruiting efforts of Corey Raymond. He's a guy who's really locked down on the recruiting trail. He's a guru. And to go out and get a player from California is big time. We know that their recruiting realm is the Louisiana spot. There's so much talent in the Bayou State. You take as many as you can. But to go out and get a guy from California and to steal him, like you said, from the likes of USC, the hometown team, and then in Ohio State, et cetera, he had the who's who of college football battling it out for his services. And for LSU to get the commitment this early in the game, it's a big one, Mike. So excited to see how they continue to keep their foot on the gas for him. But it all comes down to December, of course, when they put pen to paper. Haven Finney Jr. is a guy that they obviously want in this class, and they'll continue to battle it out down the stretch.
Throwing it now to baseball, man, what an ending. Early Saturday morning, you know, when Bear Pops went out the park. Scott Sanders, we had him on yesterday. He was like, I think the ball might have just landed. Because when you heard that ball come off that bat, he knew one thing, it was out of there. And, you know, there's no love loss between LSU and Tennessee. And, you know, with Coach V, I'll give him credit. He's become the new Steve Spurrier of coaching in the SEC, baseball style, so to speak. If you got him, you love him. If you go up against him, you dislike him in a high manner. But to win 2 out of 3 against the Volunteers, that was big for the Tigers this weekend.
Yeah, and that's obviously putting it lightly, Mike. You're looking at the last two national champions. You're looking at two powerhouse programs on the baseball scene. And to go back and forth in Alex Box like that over a 3-game series was sensational. Coming back and battling back in the bottom of the ninth on Friday night. I mean, my goodness, one of the best half innings of baseball I've seen in a really, really long time. And to cap it off with a Jared Jones bomb, like you said, I might have just seen that ball come down. I mean, he hit just absolute leather off of that one. So an exciting game in game one. Game two, you struggled a little bit. But to bounce back in game three and come out and have Derek Curiel shine, Cason Evans, to be led by two true freshmen out there on the diamond. I mean, it speaks volumes once again. And I talked about Corey Raymond's recruiting efforts, of course, on the football side of things. But the recruiting efforts of Jay Johnson, I mean, he just continues to go out and get high-level player, high-caliber player, year in, year out. And now you see two true freshmen come out in arguably the biggest series of the season against a top-5 opponent. You see Cason Evans on the mound, struggle early, battle back, really handle his business against a top-5 team. Derek Curiel, I mean, there's not much more you can say about Derek Curiel. I mean, this is the SEC Freshman of the Year. He's playing like it every single weekend, had his best weekend of the year against the biggest opponent of the year. So, nonetheless, just a great series all around. Loved what I saw from the youngsters. Obviously, Jared Jones, your savvy veteran, really coming up when you needed him on Friday night. A great team. They're continuing to hit their stride. I'm excited to see what happens kind of down the line here.
Zach, I wanted to actually get your thoughts. I'm glad you brought up Cason Evans, because listening to Jay talk after Sunday's victory, where they run rule Tennessee 12-2, you take the series, everyone's high spirits. Chris Blair had asked him about Case and kind of moving him to that Sunday starter role for the first time. That was his first start of his collegiate career, by the way. So I'll put, you know, the two runs in the first inning past him because he put up five blanks right after that. He was fantastic against a really good Tennessee offense. But, you know, the idea of potentially moving him to that Sunday role, he mentioned that at some point, Case Evans is going to be a Friday night guy at LSU, and you can just see the talent that oozes off this kid's arm. But just how he did when in his first collegiate start and what his projection is moving forward, because he's been such a vital bullpen piece for this team, but maybe he will be that third starter for the Tigers.
Yeah, Charlie, I mean, you're spot on there. This is a guy in Case Evans who's young, and he needed to settle in. You got to put those first two innings behind him and just see the product overall. I love looking at the big picture. And when you look at the big picture of Case Evans on Sunday afternoon, I mean, he was just absolutely dominant down the stretch when you needed him. So fantastic player. And you saw what Jay Johnson said after the game. Other than his wife, Maureen, Case Evans and Zach Cowan are two of the most important people in his life. So he obviously thinks extremely highly of Case Evans. And just him being a true freshman, I mean, he's just scratching the surface, Charlie. This is a guy who has just tremendous potential. You continue to let him evolve in Baton Rouge and the sky's the limit. Jay Johnson alluded to that by saying that he will be a Friday night starter by the time he leaves Baton Rouge. So a guy who, like I said, just scratching the surface, the sky's the limit. Really, really excited to see him continue to evolve. Fantastic first start of his career. But once again, I mean, it's going to get scary for a guy like Case, and he is a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete.
Zach, size up this weekend series against A&M. Now, they got their nose rubbed in it this week, past weekend. Texas sweeps them out and their former coach. But, you know, people say, well, they're going to come in a bad mood. Well, a lot of times you lose three straight like that, it kind of tests your confidence a little bit. And now you play in LSU. So your thoughts on kind of how you would size up this matchup between LSU and A&M this coming weekend?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head right there. LSU obviously dropped a midweek matchup last week, came into the weekend series against Tennessee with a fire underneath them. You come in and you battle back in game one on Friday night. So obviously when you lose, you want to be more passionate. You want to come out with more fire. We'll see Texas A&M do that after getting swept. I think you're going to have another challenging series. Obviously, it hasn't been a year that the Aggies have wanted to this point, but it's the SEC, Mike. Every single weekend, every single opponent is fierce. Every single one has the opportunity to come out and win a series. It doesn't matter if you're at the top or the bottom. Everybody is so competitive this year. It's fantastic. There's so much parity in the league right now. So I think when it comes to Jay Johnson and the rest of the staff, you have to come out and put the rankings, and you can't overlook anybody. You got to put it behind you is what I'm trying to say. So excited to see how they do that. Start off with Cade Anderson on game one and see how he starts to get the series cruising and rolling out here. But you can't overlook your opponent. There's too much parity in the league. I think the Aggies are coming off of a challenging series. Got to watch out for them because they're going to come out with a fire lit underneath them.
Zach, before we let you run, I wanted to ask you about the NFL draft and some of the LSU players that got selected, and just start right off the bat with Will Campbell going fourth overall. It was the worst kept secret in the pre-draft process. Everyone knew who the top three were going to be, but Will Campbell was always kind of locked in to be the Patriots fit at left tackle and be the blindside blocker for Drake May's future. But hearing Mike Vrabel's comments about him got me fired up, you know, doing reports on him for the week. You know, he said that it was an easy pick, and it just felt like if you put Will Campbell and Mike Vrabel in the same room together, they're just going to instantly become like best friends.
Yeah, they are, and there's so much passion between both of them. I mean, having the opportunity to talk to Will over the last couple of years, just one of the most serious, disciplined players that I've ever been around. He is so passionate about the game of football, and you got to see a little taste of that after he got drafted when he was up on stage, just basically saying that he's going to die for Drake May, his new quarterback. And then once he obviously got to New England, he was talking about how he's a quarterback guy. You can ask any of the players that he's been around, whether it's Jaden Daniels, Garrett Nussmeier, he's going to live and die on that field and do anything he can to protect his quarterback. So seeing him go to the next level and be the number four pick in the draft, like you said, one of the worst kept secrets of all time, but nonetheless, a fantastic spot for him. Love where Will's going over there in New England. Think it presents a tremendous opportunity. You see guys like Mason Taylor go in the second round. I'm excited to see what happens with him in the future. Tremendous ball player who's just scratching the surface himself. So LSU was well represented in the NFL draft. A lot of guys have tremendous opportunities to take that step in year one really intrigued to watch it play out for a lot of talented former Tigers.
Zach, everybody asked me the same thing. You got four offensive linemen drafted. How come we struggled running the football?
Million-dollar question, huh, Mike? I mean, you sit back and you look at these, you look at the run schemes that they might have run that didn't quite pan out the way that they wanted to, maybe some complexity that didn't pan out, and I'll keep emphasizing didn't pan out because obviously it was a challenge. But nonetheless, four starters getting drafted is a tremendous feat. Kind of sit back and make you scratch your head, right? Why they struggle so much in the run game, million-dollar question. And there's a reason why a lot of those guys get paid the big bucks, and it's not me.
And it's the first time since 1947 that LSU's had four offensive linemen selected in one draft class. And I didn't cover that draft class either. So, Zach, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your insight. Keep up the great work.
Of course, Mike. I appreciate you and Charlie. Y'all have a good one.
Thanks, Zach.
Thanks so much, Zach Nagy. Does a great job covering the LSU Tigers, if it's baseball, basketball, football. And lucky to have him here on the Big 870 WWL. We come back, it'll be our Bet 365 triple option feature coming up next. Welcome back to Sports Talk here on the Big 870. It's our Bet 365 triple option feature. Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long, Steve Geller. Steven, go first.
Guys, looking at the social media on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, Tyler Shuck had a tweet last night, said, God's timing, if it was easy, everybody would do it. New Orleans, you will get everything out of me. Who dat? And then there's four pictures along with his post. One is him and his family after getting drafted. There is another one of him at Oregon, and it's clearly in the picture with Saints tight end Juwan Johnson. The other was his time at Texas Tech. And then the final shot, it's him at Louisville, and he's holding his hand up. And if you look at the scoreboard in the background, and I don't know if this is intentional or not, and if so, it's some all-pro trolling already by the new Saints quarterback. You can see 28-3 in the background. So shout out to Tyler Shuck for already getting, you know, initiated into the Who Dat Nation, getting onto their good side, and hopefully it was an intentional jab at the Atlanta Falcons right there.
Steve, it's funny. We've had numerous people come on, if it's been Chris Redman, Archie Manning, you name it, that come on to talk about Shuck. And everybody has been so positive about him. Now, again, you know, you go on social media, everybody's got an opinion, and that's what they got it there for. It's a wide variety of opinions there. But the people that we've had on, quarterbacks, former quarterbacks, every one of them have praised Tyler Shuck.
Yeah.
And they think that he's going to be a difference maker on this football team. And so that's a different spin than if you just, you know, on X or Instagram or Facebook or whatever. Now, like I said, again, everybody's got a different opinion on things, but the people we've had on have all spoke super highly of Shuck.
Looking forward to see what he can do and getting a glimpse of it come rookie minicamp next weekend.
Charlie?
Guys, I'm going with a real fun one from Jonathan Givony. You know, we're talking about, I think it's 13 days away from the NBA's draft lottery. And right now, only 106 players have entered the 2025 NBA draft. And that's the lowest number of early entrants since 2015, guys. The peak of it was 363 in 2021. It's like a third of that number when it was at its peak. And if you look at the bar chart, a lot of this has to do with NIL money in college hoops right now. And these players are, you know, staying in college for longer. Givony calls it a quote-unquote boon for college basketball to retain so much talent. But I just thought that was really fascinating. We're not really in the era of the one and done anymore, guys, I don't think. There's going to be a couple of those prospects that are just can't miss guys that will go in the top five as freshmen, like, you know, multiple players this year. But at the same time, expect a lot of these really talented college basketball players to stay in college because they're making money with the NIL.
Charlie, it's funny you say that because we've seen a little variance also in the NFL of guys coming out early for the, you know, from the college ranks to the NFL because of money there too. And this is going to trickle over also into college baseball the exact same way because the money's there for a lot of these young men. And you can see that, you know, everybody kind of complains about some of the negatives.
But if I can keep that player, if I'm a college team, and some cohesiveness, if it's basketball, baseball, football, I would want that. That to me, that's a plus. Now, again, because of the transfer portal, it doesn't mean that you're going to play at the same school, but they seemingly, the trend now is more toward them staying at all three major sports, football, baseball, basketball, staying in school longer.
And a lot of players kind of opening themselves up to bidding, you know, going to the highest bidder, whichever school will pay me the most money to stay in college versus, you know, testing the water in the NFL drafts. I think it's a really fascinating thing to kind of follow. But just the numbers that Givony had given out, that it's basically cratered since 2020 when these rules kind of really started coming into place. I thought that was fascinating. Only 106 players entering the 2025 NBA draft early.
Guys, last night we had Archie Manning on, and he made a comment that in talking, because he had told me ahead of time, I'll have a comment about Kelvin Banks Jr., and it's a positive one, a real positive one. And he talked about, he thought this was late October, early November, in talking to Arch about Texas. And Arch told him the best football player on this Texas football team is Kelvin Banks Jr., and he's our leader. I mean, could you get a better recommendation? Now, Arch wasn't the starting quarterback there, but, you know, come on, you around all those guys. Texas got talent. I mean, they got players all over the board. So for Arch Manning to make that comment, you know, to his grandpa about Kelvin Banks Jr. and about his leadership skills and also his talent tells you what the Saints got here. And hopefully they don't mess around and start this stuff where he'll play left guard. Put him at left tackle. Move Fuago over to right tackle. You know who's your center. You know who's your right guard in Cesar Ruiz. Your center's McCoy. And figure out the left guard spot. But if you can get that right, and if Shuck plays like everyone has spoken about him, then you've got something if you've hit on a left tackle and a starting quarterback in one draft class.
Sold.
Yeah, all those low draft grades that nobody really cares about because you can't grade players before they actually touch an NFL field.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that either, Charlie.
You can kind of throw that in the trash if that's the case, Mike.
Yeah, I get that all the time. You give us a draft grade. Man, I ain't doing none of that. I ain't seen them play pro football
it's
yet.
It's such a stupid process.
Check back with me in October, and I'll give you a much better grade. That's it for our Bet 365 triple option feature. We're finishing up here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 in the 5 o'clock hour. I want to tell everybody at 6:30 tonight, LSU plays Southeastern in baseball, and you can hear that game right here on the Big 870 WWL and free on the Odyssey app. I have a texter ask about James Burnip, who kicked at Alabama, and he's from Australia. And you talk about a dude who's big, because he measured out when he went to the combine at 6'6" 3/8", 235 pounds. Now, he looks like a tight end. Man, can he pop it? And I'm interested here because, man, a big guy like that was kicked in, you know, when you're kicking in Alabama or Florida, like Crenshaw got picked by Sean Payton in the Bucs. Man, listen, that's some thick air you're kicking in Gainesville a lot or in Florida in the SEC. Same thing with Burnett. I'd keep an eye on Burnett as an undrafted free agent signee by the Saints. A huge guy. Man, does he have an overflow when he hits the ball? He's got some leg strength, and having played Australian rules football, he's very good at getting these kind of coffin corner kicks inside the 20-yard line. So that's a name to keep in mind, especially as we head into the OTAs and the training camp period. James Burnup, and they had a rookie last year from Vanderbilt kick for the Saints. But Burnup, man, he looks more like a tight end than he does as a punter.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday, April 28th. Steve Geller here with Charlie Long, bringing on 6:30. That's when we'll have LSU baseball in action tonight, taking on Southeastern, a big cat battle, I should say, as it's the Lions versus the Tigers, and a tough one for the Tigers. The Southeastern squad is definitely no pushover. Looking forward to seeing how the Tigers respond after a poor outing their previous Tuesday, just a week ago, getting run ruled at home, wasn't the prettiest sight for the Bayou Bengals. Going to get into plenty of LSU baseball talk. Before I do, wanted to get into our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, seeing on here someone asking, why don't the Saints sign Tyler Shuck's favorite target in Louisville? He's an undrafted free agent right now. And I got that one stood out to me right away, Charlie, just because watching the game film of Shuck after he was drafted by the Saints, number one, Ja'Cory Brooks on Louisville stood out to me. But unfortunately, he has been signed by the Washington Commanders.
Right. The Commanders scooped him up. I was about to say, I thought he did get picked up. Yeah, no, he's not available anymore, unfortunately.
But yes, 61 receptions, over 1,000 yards, and 9 TDs. That Tyler Shuck highlight film, definitely a lot of number one in there.
I know. And unfortunately, that was the one position.
And a big receiver.
Yeah, the one position that the Saints didn't fill in this draft, the biggest position of need that they didn't get was wide receiver. 9 different positions drafted, but you didn't get the big body receiver. Granted, there weren't too many in this draft class to begin with, but that definitely felt like the one hole that they didn't address.
Yeah, it'll be interesting now to see how things pan out going forward. There's been a little buzz around, you know, mentioning the name Keenan Allen, the veteran who has worked with new head coach Kellen Moore before when both were on the Chargers.
He's been around the block.
Right.
I mean, I don't know exactly what you would expect from Keenan Allen at this point in his career, especially when you look at last season. With he was with the Bears, and they had that formidable trio with him, Rome Odunze, the rookie, and then DJ Moore, who's been steady Eddie for them.
Man, yeah, DJ Moore's a doll.
Yeah, he is. But that was, you know, we'll see what happens with Keenan. Keenan will have some options if he wants to come back and play football for another year.
Yeah, I would expect the Saints to kick the tires on it because they do still have that needed wide receiver, I feel like, and the fact that you do have Kellen Moore having experience of working with him before. So I guess if all went well with him on the Chargers while both were there, it's a definitely, you know, reunion possibility.
Yeah, they're not the only team that needs a big body receiver, though.
No, Steven, right.
That's kind of the issue, is that, you know, you'll see a couple of these teams. My buddy that's a Cowboys fan has been talking to me nonstop about how they didn't take a receiver in this year's class, and he was expecting them to do it. And I told him, you know, if Tet McMillan's there, your Cowboys will probably take him.
Sorry.
Tet gets picked at pick 8 by Carolina, so he doesn't get there, and they take Tyler Booker. They had a pretty cool draft, though, with Booker, and then later on in the second round, they get a steal with Donovan Ezeraku, and third round, they get a steal with Savone Ravel. But they didn't address the receiver position just like the Saints. Maybe it just wasn't that good of a receiver class, Steve, in all honesty, and I think there's some truth to that. At least it wasn't as good as last year's was, for sure.
Yeah, meanwhile, you know, the Saints drafting 9 players. We'll be getting to see a little bit of action from them next weekend when it's rookie mini camp. And then shortly after that, what will follow is organized team activities. And we'll make a big deal out of that, who's not there. But remember, the OTA sessions are voluntary for folks to attend. So you wouldn't expect to see probably some of your bigger names and guys that don't need it, and like someone like an Alvin Kamara. Meanwhile, yeah, not everybody is built like a Cam Jordan, is just a football junkie and constantly wants to be around the facility.
Yeah, don't panic when we don't see some folks at the OTAs. Just don't. I mean, it happens every year.
Like someone like Alvin Kamara might go, you know what, there's a new head coach in town, I'm going to be around.
And that might happen. We'll just have to see, but don't panic. They're voluntary. I mean, it is what it is. Like, yes, you would like to see the players show up and, you know, start building that team camaraderie and being around each other early on before we even get to the training camp stuff and mini camp and all that good, you know, the later processes of the off season. But just don't overreact. Don't panic if some of these players don't pull up.
Lord knows we'll definitely be talking about which QBs are and aren't there. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Looking at tonight's game, we got LSU baseball back in action. Big series win over the weekend for the Tigers against Tennessee. And oh, so great to see Tony Vitello upset. There's no one of those punchable faces you could say in sports.
You know, it's funny because someone actually on our text line said that Vitello, Cason Evans looks a lot like Vitello.
He really did.
So we're joking about how Vitello's got a punchable face and we love seeing him lose. But at the same time, Cason Evans, who's a beloved young freshman star on the LSU pitching staff, looks just like him.
Yeah, I don't know if he was trolling him at all, but it seemed pretty funny that they looked like a twinsies over there. Obviously, a much younger version as well. But this LSU baseball team has been cruising all season long. They're up to number two in the rankings after taking a little bit of a dip. But we know that it's not going to really matter until the end of the season. But really surprised to see, Charlie, when you're looking at the schedule right now, there's just 10 games left in this regular season, and then we're on to SEC tournament time.
Is it 10?
10 more games.
We have two midweeks left, right?
Yeah, just that's it. And then one the and
three,
another one.
The three weekend sets?
You got
wow,
it.
Wow, that's insane. I mean, Hoover's going to be here before you know it, and I'm really looking forward to the SEC tournament this year because of how, you know, we were talking with Zach Nagy last hour about this. The SEC, yes, there's Texas who's 19-2, and then there's Missouri who's 0-21. But then the entire middle chunk,
just
and maybe you can
feeding
like
off each other.
You can probably throw South Carolina in the category with Missouri too, because I think they're like 5-16. But the entire middle part of the SEC is just a bloodbath. And you know, LSU's positioned themselves pretty well to where they're 14-7 in the SEC. They're tied for second place with Arkansas. I talked about this last night during the second guest triple option segment. Those two are, you know, right. Knotted up. And they're playing each other next week, by the way. So that's going to be a really interesting series to watch. And then right below them is Tennessee, who's 13-8. And then it's just a ton of like 12 and 9, and then 10-11 SEC teams just kind of filling out a bunch of spots. So it's really, really center packed this year in the SEC. It's a ton of parity.
Looking at today's midweek opponent, no slouch at all. Southeastern Lions have plenty of bite to them. 33-11 on the season, 18-6 in conference play. They're 14-5 on the road this season. And you look at it, some pretty decent pitching and some pop in their lineup as well.
Yeah, good pitching, good hitting. I mean, that's how you get to, you know, the record that they have. It's been an impressive season for the Lions. And I mentioned this with Mike in the first hour that if the season ended today, even if they don't win the Southland Conference tournament, they're in position to potentially have an at-large bid.
Yeah, you showed me the layout of that
yeah.
Southeastern might be end up coming to the LSU's regional.
Right, it's bracketology, but for college baseball regionals. It's actually pretty cool. College Baseball Central had one earlier today. That's the one that I had sent to you and Mike. And it has LSU as the 2 seed, which is fantastic. I mean, they're the number 2 team in the country right now via D1 baseball, but that would have them hosting the road to Omaha, which would be excellent. At the same time, you know, their number 2 seed in their regional is Southern Miss. Southern Miss has always got a good program. But then number 3 was Southeastern. And the Lions out of the Southland Conference potentially getting an at-large bid, even if they don't win their conference. And that just kind of proves how good of a season they've had so far.
Last night on the Jay Johnson Show, Coach previewed a little bit about what we can expect from this Southeastern squad tonight. Sorry, that was the wrong audio right there, folks. My apologies. But yeah, Jay Johnson on the show last night previewing this Southeastern squad. And of course, you know that this Tiger team is still licking their wounds from a week ago today, exactly 7 days ago. They had that tough run rule loss in the box.
It is funny, though, Steve. I did mention this, that if they won the series against Tennessee, a lot of people would forget. And I think a lot of people have forgotten about that game against Northwestern
State. But they haven't.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll get to that here.
Jay Johnson and his team definitely fired up. And he mentions right here that this Tiger team's looking for to show their effort to another level this evening against Southeastern. Here's Jay Johnson.
More than anything, though, I think our team, you know, we want to play the caliber of baseball we're capable of. You know, our guys do have a lot of pride in performance, and, you know, obviously we had a great weekend this weekend, but, you know, I know a Tuesday night like last Tuesday did not sit well with them, didn't sit well with any of us, and so I expect a great effort.
Didn't sit well with any of us, and yeah, for me, I can just imagine this Tiger team just brimming you know, with anxiousness to get out there today and take back that midweek action that they had that streak going and ended up losing it last week.
And here's Jay's thoughts on Southeastern here, Steve.
Oh, we got it.
Yeah, they've played good from the start of the season, and that record is very impressive. They've been very consistent in series play on the weekends. They're in position to win that Southland Championship. I think it's a deep pitching staff. I would say we'll probably see some of the best arms that we've seen on a Tuesday, you know, throughout the entire season, you know, maybe going back to the Dallas Baptist game. So that's kind of the strength. They do play very competitively. They have a really good brand of baseball. So it's a chance to have a really good win, you know, a meaningful win. And when you talk about postseason and things of that nature, but we're going to have to play really well in the game to win the game.
Head coach Jay Johnson of the LSU baseball team right there. The second-ranked Tigers, I may add, against Southeastern. And, yeah, you look at the history between these two teams. The LSU Tigers have had a ton of success against Southeastern, a series that goes all the way back to 1937. LSU leads it 77-18. Lions not having much success against the Bayou Bengals.
Yeah, once again, though, I mean, you can kind of throw the records out when you have this good of a team coming to the box, Steve. And you already brought up also the road record is really strong. Scott Sanders, who came on with us yesterday, said that they're not going to be scared coming to the box. And it's a veteran unit. A good squad, a postseason squad right now, and they're looking for a signature victory, and LSU can't let it happen.
Like I mentioned, the all-time series, 77-18 all-time in favor of LSU. Since 1990, the Tigers have had a 50-4 mark against Southeastern, so we'll see if they can extend that tonight. We'll come back with a little more sports talk before we get ready for first pitch right here on WWL. Just a few more moments before we hand things over to the LSU Sports Radio Network for LSU baseball taking on Southeastern this evening. We got some playoff basketball in action currently. The Indiana Pacers up 52-51 over Milwaukee. 9 minutes left in the third there. We'll see if Indy can close out things this evening. I know a lot of people are already speculating, where will Giannis Antetokounmpo end up next year? They think he's going to end up being traded.
I'm looking forward to talking with Nick Friedell later on in the week, or Odyssey NBA Insider, about these playoffs. Steve, I've been keeping up with it. It's been pretty hectic for the most part. As far as this Indiana-Milwaukee series, it's just kind of sad for Milwaukee. Like, at least the Bucks and Bucks fans got a championship out of Giannis's era, because it feels like it's over. I mean, Dame Lillard tearing his Achilles. He's 35 years old.
Probably won't be back next year, right?
I mean, you got to move on, right? And just hit the reset button. Now, the good news is that the Pelicans own some picks for the future for the Bucks. So that's something to keep in mind. We'll bring that up tomorrow as well, because if the Bucks completely hit the reset button and move on from their superstar talent that brought them a championship, it could benefit the Pelicans too.
Appreciate all you folks out there for tuning in. For Charlie Long, I'm Steve Geller. Have a great evening. Be back tomorrow with more. Next up, LSU baseball versus Southeastern right here on WWL.